come to you in the name of Jesus, and we pray that you would guide us this morning. I thank you for our mothers. We thank you, Lord, for every person that's here. We thank you, Lord, that you have blessed us in a rich way. Thank you for the rain. Thank you for settling the dust. Thank you for that you give rain on the just and the unjust, and that even though we don't deserve it, that you are good and you give it and you're merciful. And so we just want to bless you and thank you for all that you've done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Why don't we do this? Let's start this part of the service by everybody stand together. Let's all stand. Now, I could have said this a little bit different. I could have said, if you have a mother, you can stand. All right? Because that would include everybody. Everybody here has a mother. All right? But now let's do it. Let's change this up a little bit. And some of us that are here, your mother is no longer with us, all right? Maybe she passed away. Maybe she just lives in another community. But she's not here this morning. So if your mom is not here this morning, you can sit down. Okay, all right. The rest of you that are standing, you're going to get priority here. And what I want you to do is think about one thing you're thankful for about your mom. Okay, one thing you're thankful for about your mom. And we're going to give, okay, when it comes to who's standing right now, it's going to be, we're going to give priority to you, but we're going to make it this way. If you're a young man or let's say a boy or a man, it's expected to say something, okay? If you're a young lady, you're invited to say something. You understand the difference between expected and invited? Okay. If you're a man, a boy or a man, you're expected to. If you're a young lady or any age lady, you're invited to. All right? When they're done, then, we will go on with the rest of you. Everybody's going to have an opportunity to say one thing you're thankful for your mother. So you can all sit down right now. And while you're thinking about that, I've got something to share. And this is on the subject of Mother's Day again. You can be thinking about the one thing to be grateful for while I'm reading this. Or if you've already thought of it, then you can just listen. And this, what I have to read, is written by Melody Corver. How many recognize the name Melody Corver? Some of us do. She's my niece. She was the mother of the family who was in gangster camp down in Haiti with Christian Aid Ministries. So they were down there in Haiti, and they were there on the, you know, taken captive by the gangs. And then they came back home. You know, remember how they escaped in the middle of the night and so forth? They escaped from that gangster camp, and they were then invited to go to Liberia. So they're in Liberia right now. They've been there, I don't know, a couple of years, I guess, by now. And I'm not sure how long they're going to be there. I think is it maybe indefinite? But anyway, that's where they're at right now. So she writes this article, so I just thought I would share this for you mothers that are here. And this is called, the title of this says, Raising Children is Both Merciful and Merciless. Raising children is both merciful and merciless. She says, I have found that to be true in a Wisconsin farmhouse, a Haitian gangster camp, and a CAM compound in West Africa. In all locations, these small humans need food, clothes, and some degree of cleanliness. And sometimes these mundane duties swell into a full-time job. In all places, there are moments of poignant beauty and miraculous joy. Life is not fair. I am not squatting in the dust along the roadway under the broiling sun, hawking potato greens or plantain chips so my children can eat tonight. But sometimes, briefly, I still forget how ridiculously rich all aspects of my life are. When sweat drips into the supper, when cockroaches chew the clothes, when unexpected guests and neighbor children rearrange the schedule, when I despair of ever understanding the Liberian language or culture. At these times, it's easy to feel like this business of raising a family would be easier somewhere else, preferably somewhere cool. And grandparents down the road would be a plus. But in many ways, life is simpler here. Children walk across the lane to school. One pair of Crocs is suitable footwear for any and all occasions. Doors stand open all day, and toddlers run in and out without the hindrance of winter wraps. The parameters of cooking are such that the parameters of cooking that are such an adjustment at first gradually become freeing as you learn the local ingredients and what all can be done with them. Bush trips may take Dad away from home more nights than he ever left us before, but the balanced days have a schedule far friendlier to shared breakfasts and evenings as a family than our life in the States. And how do you measure the value of eating pepper soup, riding in a dugout canoe, or visiting friends in their zinc-round homes the size of an average American bedroom? The countless experiences that add up to a view of God and the Word and the world will never be quite the same had your life stayed in a clean, defined comfort zone. It's sad to be on the other side of the globe when your brother and his young wife bury their firstborn daughter. When the cousins are all together to go through grandpa's things, or when yet another good friend is united in holy matrimony without your witness. But being part of the family of God takes on new meaning and richness as you form relationships with co-workers that transcend church denominations and cultural lines. And I wouldn't trade these experiences for myself or our family, even if I could. The responsibilities of raising children don't recede just because mom is vomiting up her toenails or dad is staggering under the stress of his job description outside the home. Parenthood is merciless that way the world over. I suspect that whether you live in Bapola or Buckingham Palace, mothering toddlers involves a lot of following each other around and asking each other what you're doing and what do you have in your mouth. But unless you work with children, I doubt you've ever wondered what would happen if everyone in the world banged kettles at the same time, or why Christmas birds are white, or tried to explain to anyone why you don't want to leave the beef worm in your legs so that it can grow bigger and bigger and I can have it for a pet. Jesus said, "Ye must become as a little child if you want to inherit the kingdom." Children are excellent sidekicks to have around as you struggle to grow more like the Master and shine His light in the world around you. What is more effective, an icebreaker, than a smiling baby? Who forgives more quickly or makes you laugh more easily than a child? Who sees more wonder in the world or makes more friends impartially? I needn't enumerate the exquisite blessings that come along with the inconvenience of being another person's everything. I want to cherish every moment and intentionally train them up in the Lord, in whatever part of the world we find ourselves in. And I can't think of a corner that I'd rather be today than here in Tower Hill, Lower Margibi County, Liberia, West Africa. Maybe some of you can relate to some of those challenges. I'm not sure if there's anybody here that could relate to all of those challenges. But God bless you, mothers. It's appreciated what you do. So, those of you who were standing there at the last, you can stand up again, except for the girls. You can sit back down. Sorry. The boys, all right, and men. All right, we're going to go around the circle, and we're just going to ask you to share. You don't need to come up here. You don't need to use a mic, unless maybe there's a mic available that could. I'll tell you what, everybody just speak up. Let's just do it that way. And we're going to go from, why don't we go from back to front? So, George, you start, and we'll just work our way forward. And the rest of you, get ready, girls included, if you're thinking that you're going to get an opportunity here. So go ahead, start back there, George. One thing you're thankful for from your mom. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. You're next. Okay, thank you very much, Matthew. Okay. Go ahead.
I don't know if I could keep it to one thing, but...
That's fine. You don't need to.
I think growing up, even now, she's always honored me and made me feel like my things were important and willing to take time to help me when I think one of the craziest times was... many times has been doctoring animals of mine. Just taking the time to work. And then even now, she'll text me and tell me I'm doing a good job. And it's nice to hear in the early morning. Very kind to me in many ways. And then how she has... helped around with the baby and my wife accepting her and bringing her into the family and taking care of her, and all the things she does, and then all the ways she serves other people. A very servant person.
Thank you very much.
And then I have one other mother I'll give a shout out for today, which is my wife, mm-hmm. and how she takes care of baby, and she's an amazing mother as well.
I appreciate that very much. I forgot to tell you, you can sit down once you've shared, so go ahead. If you've shared already, you can sit down. Go ahead. We'll start up here.
Yeah, Mom did so much for all of us thrown around. Yeah, a lot of times we take for granted. But yeah, for me especially, all my injuries and health, and I tend not to worry about that. Take care of me away, more worried about my health and my injuries, and way more than I am, so that's, I don't know where I'd be if I didn't do anything about my, what happens, or, so much like that, thankful.
Thank you. All right. Thank you all for sharing. Now we switch to the girls whose mom is here. And you have an opportunity. And again, you're not expected, but you're invited to share. Who would like to share? Just go ahead. Thank you very much. And if I don't see you, just raise your hand so we can. Who else? Anyone else?
One thing I'm thankful for is the really good example that Mom set for us in just hosting people and having an open house. And if guests are coming, whatever, you hear about it the day of. Whatever, overnight guests or, not, even if it maybe could be an inconvenience. She would rarely say no. So.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Who else?
I like that Mom paints with me, Andy.
Okay. Very good. And if you feel like you could be heard better by standing to speak, that's okay too. You can sit down or stand, whatever you're most comfortable. Who else? Anyone else in that category? Anyone else?
I'm really grateful for patience and the
Amen. Okay, hey, we got a prayer request. Why don't we stop? Let's all stand. We're going to pray together. And I'll share this prayer request. It says, Kristen has asked us to pray for Rachel, had to take to urgent care. No other details?
She's having some kind of reaction to a shot she got or something like that.
Was the shot this morning?
When was it? Yesterday?
Yeah. Okay. You want to start, Jeremy?
Sure.
I'll just tell you what, Jeremy can pray. Anybody else who wants to pray can, and I will close then. Let's pray.
Lord, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you that we can come to you and bring our burdens to you. We want to take up this burden for Rachel,
mm-hmm.
for the Gussies as they go through this time. Lord, we just pray right now you'd have mercy. Reach out and Lord, give wisdom. Lord, help. Lord, we pray that you would help her body to stop reacting to this medication. Lord, I pray for Rachel as she is going through this time of accepting this disease on her body and what it means for her and the complications. I pray for your grace and your strength in her life right now. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you that you are a healer. We thank you, Lord, that you are and give grace and strength. And we ask for that now. We pray for the Gussies as they struggle with the fears and knowing what this all means. I pray you would just be with them and comfort them. Lord, we're just crying out. We don't know how to say it in words, but you know, Lord, your Holy Spirit knows how to groan for us. So we just ask you to do that and intercede on our behalf. We pray in Jesus' name. Thank you for his precious name.
Lord, I just agree with this prayer, and I just ask you, God, in the name of Jesus, to come and work with the Gussie family right now, Bob and Kristen, and especially I just pray for Rachel, that your hand would be upon her, and that you would grant healing, Lord, grant wisdom to the doctors, grant calmness to the physical reactions that are, Lord, seemingly at war with her body. Lord, we're not sure what's going on, but thank you that you do. And we just pray, God, that you would now work a miracle, take away these symptoms, whatever they are, bring peace and relaxation and, Lord, just blessing. Pour out your blessing. Thank you that we can pray at any time. And we're now here. We're collectively praying. We're asking you in the name of Jesus to come and work. Lord, we just bless you and thank you, God, for what you will do. We thank you that you're a good God that cares about this situation. We just commit ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I don't know if somebody's monitoring phones can give us updates, if there are updates, or how serious this is. Okay. Well, why don't we keep on going? And if at any point in this is a Thanksgiving service, and I want you to know when you express Thanksgiving, it blesses your mom if she's here, but it also blesses you if she's not here. It touches you. Now, if you go home and make a phone call and say, hey, Mom, I just want to say I'm thankful for something, that'd be a great thing to do. But even for you just to stand up right now and say, I'm thankful for my mom, even if she's no longer with us, it does something in our hearts. So I want to give that opportunity. Let's have now the men stand up who haven't already spoken. Men and boys, if you're old enough to share something, go ahead and stand up. Unless you've already shared, you can stay seated. But the rest of us, stand up. And by the way, I'm in this group. My mom is not here. So why don't we once again start in the back and just say one thing you're thankful for your mom. Once you've shared, you can sit down. And so, are you in the back, Randy? I think you are. Go ahead.
Yeah, my my mother and I have never really been close, and there's probably a natural personality conflict that we're both very aware of, but when I was at my lowest point back in Oklahoma, she helped me in a lot of practical ways and really expressed her love for me, and I think about that still a lot, and I'm very grateful.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Yeah, my mom, I really appreciate her in that she's very encouraging, and she still to this day occasionally sends out very encouraging texts that tells me that she's thinking of me and thinking of us, my wife and I, and really appreciates us. I really appreciate her encouragement in that, and also she's very encouraging in the Lord and in our walk with Him. So, really thankful for that, and also thankful for the things that she taught me growing up in her diligence with homeschool and also with basic life skills of like even the things in the kitchen, even though it wasn't necessarily fun back then, but I get to enjoy a lot of time with my wife in the kitchen today, and it can be very fun. So I really appreciate her sticking to that, even though it was not very easy for her. Because as a young boy, it's not very fun working in the kitchen. But I'm thankful that she did that.
I'm thankful too, because Abe does our dishes a lot. All right, keep going. Thank you. Go ahead.
Yeah, I would have to say, like, I don't do as often anymore as I did, but I used to call mom every day on the way to work, and she would always, it didn't matter when it was, she'd pick up, even if she was busy or whatever. Talk to her for a few minutes, and she's just always been there for me, encouragement, and just, you know, for times there'd be, I'd be in a low point, and she would just, you know, like, keep doing what you know you should do, and just very, very encouraging, and always, tries to get me to look at the bright side of life, even if I normally don't want to, but just always pushing me to do what's right, what I know I should do. Yeah, very thankful that she's going to call it.
Amen. Thank you.
I was thinking about this a fair amount this week, and I had to think how a mother's love is somewhat like God's love. Loves us even when we're ugly. And like I said this morning, there was times I made my mom cry. Mm-hmm. She's still loving.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Josh.
growing up, there was a period of time where my mom would just model dependence on God. And I remember there was a time when she would read we would go with her on the weekends, and she would read. We'd wake up Saturday morning, and we'd want to go play. She would say, no, we're going to sit down, and we're going to read the book of Nehemiah. Which, you know, when you're that age, it seems boring. But I just remember all these years later, that sticks out in my mind, that she wanted to teach us that God's word was important. And I remember her stopping at times, praying. If we'd be somewhere, and we'd want to buy this toy, and she'd stop and pray about such small little things. And so that really made it a change in my life, I believe. And also there's another woman in my life who, I know we don't agree with divorce and remarriage, but I still want to recognize that she, when my mom, my real birth mom, wasn't in my life, this other woman stepped in and acted like a mom and raised me and homeschooled me and poured her life into my life. And so I'm thankful for all the time she put acting as a mother to me. So I'm thankful for both of their influence in my life.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Well, a couple of words, different words come to mind. My mom would be, she loved us.
She did not hold us back, but was willing to let us go with different things we were looking at or pursuing. And she cared about us. And yet, she didn't let that stop us from where we felt like we were supposed to go. Whether that was taking her grandchildren halfway around the world, or whatever it was. And those are things that make a lot of difference. Mm-hmm. And then similar thoughts come about my wife is loving, faithful, and caring for some less than easy to care for little ones in some days. just being a friend and taking care of home when it gets to the point, or I don't even know that it's got to the point, but it's always been there, that I hate to leave for work and I can't get out of work quick enough to get home, mm-hmm. because there's a family at home that cares. Mm-hmm. And I want to. That makes a lot of difference.
Okay. Yeah, thanks, I
need your intent.
Thank you, Ben.
I like how she can forgive you and everything. So,
can I just say everything to all the other mothers that are here, since my mother's not here?
I'm sorry, Sue.
Can I just say something to the mothers that are here?
Sure, yes, go ahead.
To the mothers, before the rising sun, you get everything done. So I know it's May, so I would like to say Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you very much.
I'm thankful for my mom. She always supports my ambitious ideas and goals that I have. And she always brings up the Bible and giving, because I know I can struggle with giving at some points. And she's always wanting to be, she always likes to give, and so it's inspired me to give, so.
Thank you. Guess we got a little out of order, I guess. Take your pick there.
Yeah, I think I said before that I think I got my genes from my dad, and I got my mom's outlook on life. I probably look more like my dad and have more of his personality, but I can really connect with my mom in a lot of ways, and even today I love to. When she calls me, or and I call her, and we love to discuss stuff. I just really appreciate her. Yeah, just all the values that she instilled in me as I was growing up. Just thinking about it the other day, probably she's the one that instilled a lot of my love for music. I'm not sure who else it would have been, anyway, other than what was there, just God given. But I can remember her. When she would work, she would often be singing. She has this high, sweet voice, and she'd be there singing away when she was working. It was really, sometimes she'd get the words of the songs wrong and whatever, but it was, it's something that I remember from growing up.
Thank you, Austin.
One thing there's many, many things I really appreciate about my mom. One of the biggest things that comes to my mind now is her grace with me and forgiveness, and overall just being gracious with me as I was figuring out my way in life, which wasn't so pleasant for her and drew many, many tears and unfortunately arguments and disagreements. I'm so glad she stuck with me through those difficult times and gave me the grace to develop convictions and supported, loved, and respected me despite all those things. And I love her more now than ever because of that. And I appreciate that the most about her.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Abe. I don't know who gets that. I would just say about my own mother, I appreciate her. She's a good communicator. She was good at letting people know what she thought, and she was also a woman of conviction. Sometimes our convictions didn't always mesh perfectly, but she was vocal about it. She let us know, and it was a good thing. It shaped me into making a lot of choices that I have becoming a lot of who I have been. I have to give her the credit. And you know, I had to think, what if I didn't have a mom as good as I did? What if I had a mom who just was, you know, a total delinquent in every way? What would I have to be thankful for? And I think this goes to every single one of us. And that is this. My mom carried me for 9 months at the very beginning, most vulnerable part of my existence. That's the part when many mothers are choosing to terminate the life of their baby. And, you know, even if she's done so much for me after my birth, but even if that was the only thing she did, I would have a lot to be thankful for, just that she kept me alive for 9 months and then brought me into this world. And so I honestly, I'm thankful for that. I want to open it up now for those who have not shared yet. So that's maybe you could have shared earlier, ladies. You're welcome to share now if you didn't then. But anybody who hasn't shared yet, ladies who don't have their mothers here, or even if you do, we're just going to open it up. So go ahead. And I don't know if we want that mic. Okay, so if you don't mind, raise your hand if you want to share, and we'll bring you the mic. That way, if somebody's listening in, they can listen too. All right? There's also a hand in the back when she's done.
I'm thankful for my mom's perseverance. She didn't have an easy life, and she wasn't taught how to be a good wife or a good mom in a lot of ways, and she struggled. But she persevered. She never gave up. She always got up the next day, and she was willing to say she was sorry if she had done wrong and looked to God for grace. And to this day, she's never given up. And that's something that I really admire about her.
Thank you very much.
I can probably talk loud enough. My mother was quiet and intelligent. And those are two of the most wonderful attributes I have for my mom.
Thank you very much. Any other hands?
And then right. My mom had a giving heart, was cheerful, and loved to have a clean house.
Thank you.
I appreciate my mom for some very important choices she made. She came from a broke and dysfunctional family. Her dad was a drunk. And in college, she was taught feminism, and she believed it, hook, line, and sinker. But when she got married, she read the scriptures with my dad, and she made choices to submit to my dad. She married him when he was just finishing college to become an engineer, but then he chose to follow God to the mission field instead. And they chose poverty over what he could have done. And she never complained. My mom was brave. She had a sense of humor that when things would get really bad, she would just laugh and laugh and laugh and have tears running down her face as she laughed. And she was just, I appreciate her so much. And she also taught us to take God at his word, do right no matter how you feel. And the scriptures were our foundation. She had abandoned faith. She valued family. She spoke in faith. Her favorite some verses that stick with me to this day, Proverbs 13:10, only by pride cometh contention. So whenever there's a problem going on, it always rings in my mind, there's pride here. Only by pride cometh contention. She saw God's hand in everything and believes he still works miracles. And she's seen him do some amazing miracles.
Thank you very much. Who else? Just raise your hand if you'd like. Right
there. There's a lot of things that I'm thankful for my mom. Her prayers and her encouragement over the years. And she was always very supportive and forgiving and kind and open, very hospitable. I'm thankful for a legacy of faith that she left with us. Even when life was hard, she chose to walk in faith.
Thank you very much, Willow, for sharing.
Thank you. I would definitely second that, what Willow said. Remembering Catherine, miss a lot of that in her. For my own mom, I would say there's a lot of things I appreciate about her. She was very giving as well and cared for us, cooked for us, kept the faith. I appreciate her strong emphasis on the word. Often when I go to visit her, she'll mention a verse she's read and how it blessed her. And she'll make scripture cards to hand out to people, special verses, sayings. So I want to follow her as she followed Christ.
Amen. Thank you. Anyone else? Just put your hand up if you'd like to share. Back there.
I would like to say about my mom, she is very supportive, and she's done very good with, I've always felt very, I like to talk, and she will stand there or sit there and listen to me. She's got a very good listening ear, and that's a really good talent of hers, among many other things. So.
Thank you, Benjamin. Anyone else? No pressure here at all, but if you'd like to share, you're certainly welcome.
Like Benjamin said, she listens, but recently, she never judges. Like if I come to her with struggles I'm having or confession, she's always very much willing to listen and hear and pray before she offers any advice or just that she's very, I would say she's a channel of God's work to us children, I would say, in our lives.
Amen. Thank you.
A lot of you have never met my mom, but she lives in Kansas, and sometimes that can feel pretty far away. But, I just appreciate her for what she has taught me. And, in my younger years, I don't always appreciate it, but I for sure am thankful for what I know now as I have my own children and my own family. I just want to thank God for her today and always. And I'm thankful to still have her on the earth with us.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing. All right. Anyone else? One last chance.
I'm thankful for all my mom did for me. I think I realize it more now that I'm not in the home as much. I realize how much she did for me growing up and just making sure things ran smoothly. But most of all, I'm very thankful for the relationship she had with me and that she was there for me and she's still there for me. So I'm very thankful for the mother that she is that I have to run to when I need advice for something. She's a very godly influence in my life, always telling me to do right and to not follow my heart but follow Christ.
Thank you for each one that shared. Anyone else before we close this part of our service? Why don't we just bow for prayer? and just thank God for our mothers. Lord, we come to you and we want to say thank you for our mothers. Every single one of them that's represented here by our own existence, Lord, you brought us into this world through a mother, and we are grateful. And we pray that you would just help us to be grateful people and express our gratefulness every day as you have commanded us to. We just commit ourselves to you. And Lord, we once again don't know how things are going with the Gussies, Bob and Kristen and Rachel, but we lift them up to you once again and ask you to once again grant healing according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. For the rest of the service here, there's something I've thought about doing for a while, and I thought, well, maybe if there's ever any time left at all, I'd like to do it this morning, something that's been going through my mind that we'll see how it goes. I have a handout that I'd like each of you to have, so maybe Abe and Steve, if you could come, Stephen, could you come up here and give out these handouts? And Jonna, would you go back there? There's a pencil container in the back. And give everybody a pencil that doesn't have one. Anybody that needs some sort of a writing utensil. So, and then if you could pick up a songbook or something to give you sort of a hard backing to write with. And everybody who can write is welcome to one of these papers, these handouts. If you can write at least your name, hopefully maybe a little bit more than that, but if you can write. Now, what we're not doing this morning is learning how to make paper airplanes. That's not what this is. It's something else. So if you'd hold off on the paper airplanes for now, that would be good. But give you just a moment. Does everybody see? Everybody has a paper at the beginning of this. Everybody should have a paper and something to write with. And some kind of a hard backing to write. Okay, here's what I want you to do. Right up at the top of the page, first of all, you're going to notice that there's two sides to the paper. And so there's a side one, which at this point should be blank. If you turn it over and look at the other side, that's side two. That should be blank as well. All right? So here's what I want you to do. I want you to write up at the top of the page these four words. People that I know. Okay? People that I know. And you can underline that then. That's at the heading of page number one. Now, I want you to think about this. How many people, if you wrote down everyone you know in the world on that side of the page, how many would it be? Don't start writing yet. All I want you to do is write up there, people that I know. And this includes, does anybody not have a writing utensil? Raise your hand if you don't have anything to write with. We got a few left here. There's another one. Okay, all set. Everybody's got a paper and something to write with. Good. All right, at the top of the page, people that I know. And then underline it. How many people do you think would be on this side of the page if you would put down in really small print everybody that you know? And this includes, by the way, people that know you, okay? Think of it another way. If you were to die tomorrow, today's Sunday, Mother's Day, so let's push this off a day. If you were to die tomorrow, Monday, and the funeral would be Thursday, and if everybody that knew you, that knows you, would come to your funeral, how many people would be at the funeral? Or everybody that knows your parents, so they're sympathizing with your parents, and so they come. Or they know your children, and so they feel bad about your children's sake. And they come to the funeral too. How many people would be at your funeral if you were to die tomorrow? Think about that for just a little bit. Well, it's too many to put on the piece of paper, so instead, let's just take a guess. I've heard somewhere, probably everybody in this world knows somewhere around, even the non-famous people, maybe 1,000 people. So just write the word 1,000 on that paper, okay? Just put it 1,000. Okay? And we're done with that side of the paper. You can turn it over now to the other side of the paper, okay? up at the top of this paper, I want you to put these words. People that I know who have died. People that I know who have died. And you can underline that. That's the heading up at the top. And then I want you to go ahead and start writing. Go as fast as you can. We'll take a few minutes here. And everybody you can think of that you know or knew about in your lifetime, this does not include Bible characters, people that died before you were born. It doesn't include them. We're talking about people that you lived in the same century, month, year with, at least a little bit. People that I know who have died. So go ahead, and as soon as you're ready, go ahead and start writing. And I'll just give you some instructions, but just keep on, start writing. People you can think of. I knew that person, or I knew about them, or I knew their children, I knew their parents. People that I know who have died. This could include people you knew about. Maybe you listened to a sermon by them, but you never actually met them, but they were alive at the time. People that lived within your lifetime. And we'll take a few minutes here. By the way, I did this little exercise at home, and between last night and this morning, I got about 80 names on my piece of paper. And I will say also, if you're younger, there's probably not going to be as many people on the list as if you're older. This list that you're making right now is a list that's going to keep growing as your life goes on. So those of us that are older are going to have more on the list than the younger ones. But write down as many names as you can think of. I see some of you helping each other, and that's absolutely fine if you want to do that. Okay, let's just stop for just a moment. We'll give you a chance in just a little bit to write some more names down. But think about this. Some of the names that you put on your list were, let's just say, Christians. They were right with God when they died. Now, just imagine that you die and you're a Christian. And I don't know how that's all going to be. You know, we talk about this intermediate state and things like that, but we talk about what happens on this side. What if it was your funeral? But now think about the other way. What if you're coming through the gates of heaven and an announcement up in heaven goes out, hey, Roger's coming through. Everybody who knew him on this life can come meet him at such and such a gate. I think there's 12 gates up there, right? So a gate number 11, that's where he's going to be coming through. Everybody who knew him, meet him there. Or everybody who knew about him. or everybody who knew his parents or his children. How many of these names would be on that list? Now again, we're talking about the saved ones, and if you wrote down some that are unsaved, and I'm not asking you to make judgment calls about people. You know, if you're writing down people that have died that you knew, that's okay. Some of them, it's not up to you to judge whether they were right with God. Some of them, maybe it was pretty obvious. Some of it was maybe as obvious that they weren't. But think about that. And there is a Bible verse I want to look at the end of this. So now I'm going to give you another time to think. If you think thought of some more names, go ahead and write those names down. We'll just pause again, see how many more names you can come up with. Okay, let's pause again. How many have at least 20 names on your list? Okay, how many have at least... What's the biggest number anybody... How many do you have? Did anybody count them? What did you come up with?
19.
You came up with 19 so far. Well, let's help each other. Okay, here's what we're going to do. If you have anybody on your list that you think somebody else could have on their list... that you, other people in this room know, go ahead and call out the names. Or you can read one or two or three of them if you want, or five of them. Why don't we start up here at the front? Any names here that you think others might know? Amos. I figured that would be number one. Who else? What's that?
Kathy.
Catherine Page. Now, here's what I want you to do. Here's a good way to keep track of it. If your name, if a name that you have on your list is called out, put a check mark beside it. If it's not on the list and you say, oh, yes, I did know that person. I didn't think about her or him. Write the name down and put a check mark beside it. We're going to try to add to your list now. That's what we're doing. Okay, let's keep going. Any others up here?
Nathaniel Hyde.
Nathaniel Hyde. You know what? That's one I didn't have on my list. Thank you for that. So now my list is growing from whatever it was to... Okay, keep going. Shalom. Nathaniel Hyde, okay? And if you could say, okay, the name Shalom sounds familiar, but tell me more. Who's...
died in a car accident.
Okay, all right, car accident. All right, so everybody who knew her can put that down, put a check mark beside it. Okay, who else?
The Pope.
The Pope, all right. Pope, well, not the new one, but the old one, okay. Okay, keep going. Marvin Ketchum. All right. Hey, that's another one I should put on my list. Keep going.
Kara Erickson.
Kara Erickson. Another one I missed. Wilbur Krupp. I did have that one on my list. Keep going.
James Witt.
Another one I missed. I can't believe this. I thought I had everybody.
Mose and Denny.
I did have both of them on my list. Keep going.
Lester Bauman.
Yes. I think I had thought of him, and I can't remember. Lester was one of the phone team members, and I had him, and I had Mervyn Lance. He was a phone team member. I had Raymond Barkman. He was a phone team member. Clayton Schenck was a phone team member. There's quite a few that that passed away that used to be phone team members. Okay, keep going.
Stanley from the Red Barn Church.
Oh, yeah, Stanley Warfel. Yes, okay, thank you. What else? Who else? Alex, my grandson. I did have him there. Okay, keep going.
Bob, Leona, and Grandma Hall.
Okay. Who else?
Chris Climo,
yes, okay.
David
Gingrich, yes. Yes, I did have him on my list somewhere. Okay, keep going. Okay.
I couldn't remember either.
Yeah, I don't think I would qualify that because I don't know him. But yeah, Kate, keep going. Whose grandchild?
John Smucker.
Oh, John Smucker, yes. That's right. What was his name? Conrad's. Yeah. I'll just see how many of these that you've said that I have. I had a, how about Tom Millard, Margie's husband? My friend Andy Miller, he got married like a week after I did. Died back in Seymour, Missouri. Denny Keniston, Mose Stoltzfus, who said that Keith Daniel, he's passed away. Here's from quite a few, sometimes from one family. Zayla Krupp, Wilma Berkey, Rhoda Showalter, Martha Berkey. Alex, we said that one. How about Wanda? Wanda and Jess and Wanda Strong. Jade Evans. For myself, I got both grandparents, but all four grandparents, my grandpa, my grandma Herzler, my grandpa, grandma Zaire, they're all on the list. Victor Krupp, some of the preachers that used to be preacher when I was young, Victor and Alba Fern, Melvin Schrock and Anna Schrock. Wilbert, how many of you know Will? Did you know Wilbert Krupp? Yeah. Wilbur and Wilbert? Okay. Leland's, Wilbert and Ilva, right? Ilva, I-L-V-A. Okay, any others that some of you have that you don't have a check mark beside? Keep going.
Serenity Keniston.
Serenity Keniston. Who is, that's Daniel's baby, okay. Who? Trevor's nephew. Trevor, what's his name? Osrey. How do you spell it?
O-S-R-I-C.
Okay, Osric, yeah. Okay, thank you. Who else?
You said one Millard. Was that her son or her
husband? Oh, that's right. Her son as well. Tom was her husband. Clayton Millard, yes. Thank you. I think of a Sam Krupp. He died back when were we young married at the time, honey? Or was that before we were married? No. Okay. And then his wife was Ruth, and she married Jason Schrock, and then she passed away. And Jason's first wife passed away, Marilyn Schrock. Oh, Mike Gingrich, that'd be Greta's uncle. I remember that one. What year was that when he drowned? 85. So I was 13. Okay. I was 15 years old when he passed away. That's right, John Gingrich. Oh, and not some more from the same family, Evelyn Krupp. Okay, any others you want to add to the list? Oh, Bob Schultz, remember the guy who wrote those three books?
Pablo Yoder,
I didn't have that one down either.
Bob Ginhart.
That's right, Bob Ginhart, I had him here somewhere. Thank you, who else? Okay, thank you. Did anybody say Malia? Malia, Gabe and, yeah, Malia Mahler. Oh, and Mark and Pam Proper. Rhonda Dybel.
What about the, sorry, I can only remember his grandfather's name. He's raised the crops, but he kind of drinks, and he had a wife, and she died.
A Grant. Oh, Arlene. Arlene, yes, Arlene Krupp. Yes, I had her on the list.
Pablo's son-in-law.
Pablo Yoder's son-in-law. How did he die? Died in his sleep? Okay. Seems like I heard about that, but I just can't recall the details. And then the widow remarried an Esh, is that the one? Oh, yes, okay. Yes, okay. Which that would be the whole Esch family, yeah. I didn't know, I don't think I knew any of them. Did anybody know any of the Esch family? I don't think I did. Heard a lot about them afterward, but I didn't before they died.
Grant Krupp's daughter's husband. What was his name?
Oh, yeah. Clinton?
Yeah.
Is that his name? Clinton. What was his last name? Clinton Garman. Oh, yes.
My brother kidnapped victim in Pennsylvania, Linda Stolzfus.
Yeah, that's right. And then the Kaufman girl, too. Melvin Kaufman's daughter. What was her name?
Kaufman.
What was her name?
Sue.
Sue Kaufman. And who'd you say, Ben?
Daniel Kaufman, Melvin's son that was killed in the accident.
Okay. Well, my paper's full. Anybody else have their paper full? My brother-in-law, Steve Mast. Olga Quinones. My aunt Mary June, she drowned down in Dominican Republic. My uncle Dave Hertzler. There's so many here. Cheryl Conkle from this community. James Baer, another phone team member. Tanner's there. Rollins boy.
Jeremy Martin's son in Greenville. Not Jeremy Martin, Jeremy Yell.
Okay. Oh, yes.
As a child, they left him out. He died.
Yeah.
And by the pond.
Mm-hmm.
Jessica,
that's right.
Did you already have the boy written down about the Sikorsky thing that just happened like a month
ago? I don't. Do we know his name? I don't know.
Paulson. Ann Paulson.
Yep. I have down your father-in-law, Stan Sigler. Did somebody already say that? Jim Eveleth? No. Oh, no. Oh, that. Oh, yes, yes, yes. I know who you're talking about. Clayton Schrock, not Clayton Eveleth. I don't remember his name. Japheth sounds right. Yep. Well, the time is here to close. I think this is a healthy exercise in light of Hebrews 12, verse 1. Wherefore seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. This list that you made this morning, you can add to it as you think of people, but it's a list that's going to keep growing. And the other side, that number 1,000, is a list that's going to keep shrinking. You're going to know less and less. Think of the people when you're 105 years old, how many people? Now, you might know a bunch of younger people, but as far as people your age, there's going to be probably nobody. Your peer group. But meanwhile, the people on this side, the ones that we've been writing down, it's going to keep growing and growing. And those who are faithful, what are they saying to us? They're cheering us on, saying, stay faithful, lay aside the sin. And you know what? Even the ones who died that weren't saved, you know what they're going to say? The same thing. They would tell us exactly the same thing. Stay faithful, no matter what. Jeremy, would you close the service? Okay. Do you want to? Well, I'll tell you what. Do you have a song, Benjamin? You don't have.